everyone. This is Mary from Rock of Life Fellowship. I lead the praise and worship music, and I'm also one of the youth and teen leaders. Rock of Life is a new place in Chico where people gather to learn that Jesus is real, always relevant, and wants a relationship with you. Each week, Pastor Alfredo shares a message from the Word of God that is current, relevant, and challenges us to grow our relationship with Jesus. Pastor Alfredo is also a worship leader and former singer of the Christian rock band JBC. We get together each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 2090 Amanda Way at the Little Chico Creek Elementary School, two blocks past Winco off Forest Avenue. Now here's Pastor Alfredo with a recent Rock of Life message.
I'm going to read a Bible scripture to you first. Revelation 2:4. But I have this complaint against you. Don't love you or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me. Back to me. And do the work you did at first. And I really need to give it a different message for you. I'm probably going to have to go a little bit fast. I'm going to ask you to take notes. There's lots of slides. I told Tony. Tony, there's like 60 slides today. No. Anyway. So we began about a year and a half ago. And we've been talking a lot. Our messages have been about God's purpose for our life. And I know that's a big subject. We shared one time about what is God's will. And we've given messages about removing roadblocks between us and God. What's God's will, how the devil tries to get us to do what our flesh wants, but we know that we'd rather do what God wants us to do. Amen? How we'd rather do what God wants us to do. How to overcome life's trials and the tough times, still have joy. How to learn to be victorious. How to learn to walk in a victory. That no matter what happens, we're on the winning team. Amen. How to pray. And we even talked one time about how to be obsessive about God. Because anybody knows me. I know you do. Honey? Kind of. And we had Debbie share a message last month when we prepared to have her go through her pastoral credentials and she's doing school last year and a half ago. And she took a test yesterday, in case you guys didn't know. Wait a minute, I didn't tell you if she passed or not yet. Okay, she passed. Okay. But I mean, she's already, the woman's pastor, and one of the main reasons why she went to go through the school for their education is because she is definitely a woman's pastor. So, and a pastor is everybody. But your soul sisters group is like awesome, right? Any soul sisters here? All right, so, but the bottom line, what I'm trying to say is that at the very core of everything, everything is about God. Period. We are created by God. We are here because of God. Anything that is good in this world is because of God. We have a chance to choose an everlasting life because of God sending His Son to die for us so that we can have an everlasting life in heaven with Him. No matter what anyone says, anyone, media, government, culture, Tricon Street, whoever, certain groups, individuals, Jesus is King. God is God. We are to lead our lives by the Holy Spirit. Everything is about God. He's the beginning, the middle, and the end, and the forever. God is the creator of life, the one, the only true God. I feel like I'm ready to introduce Him. But God is here because God rules. He always has, and He always will. And we have an opportunity that no matter what goes on in life, no matter what life throws at us, we can and always will have love, hope, and joy in the Lord. We can finally figure out that life chooses, life gives us a choice. And anything that God chooses for our life is better than anything that we could choose for ourselves. Amen? So, now there are those that may disagree. You know, and that's okay. It's okay. Because God gives us free will. God is that everyone will come to church. That everyone will come to church. That everyone will go to church. That everybody will have an everlasting life. But God does not force himself on anyone. Every single person has a choice. You can choose life with God, Jesus is our Savior, and live the way the Holy Spirit guides us, striving for a holy life. I suppose you're wondering, where's he going with all this? Last week, Tommy said a message that he got me thinking about the what is our purpose and why are we here? Remembering that life on this earth is temporary and it does go really fast. When I look at my girls, they're 20, 21, 22. But I look at them and they're like 4 and 6. Yeah. But life does go fast. And for all the things that God has blessed us with, you know, any gifts, characteristics he's given us, the talents, the skills, the passions, the abilities, with all the circumstances and experiences, good, bad, in between, God is building us up and he's molding us so that we would still always find this great joy, this great passion, this great affection in living with a personal relationship with him. To strive to live a guilty life until hopefully one day we'll all be together in heaven with our Creator. Forever and ever and ever. So here's the question. Here's what is left. With all that I just recapped, there are times where we can lose sight of it. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you can lose sight of all the stuff that I just kind of picked up. If you don't know Jesus yet, you may have heard about this, but for whatever reason, you just haven't been able to focus on it. You're not going to that. There's times that, for whatever reason, we get overwhelmed with life's challenges. Maybe there's a certain circumstance or issue that you're going through that's kind of taking your focus off the truth, and we lose it a bit. Or maybe things are going really great. Things are great. Oh, no, just laying the bank, laying the page. My life's great. Kids are fine. Most of the time. And things are great. No, really, I got good friends. My job is good. Everything's healthy. It's really good. And you can still lose sight with maybe taking God's blessing for granted. And you get off track. You get off track of the what and the why. Of what we are here for. And to strive for a life that's pleasing to God. We can and will struggle at times to get control of our lives at times and give that control back to God. Right. For the Easter service, I focus on a verse from God's word about giving control of our lives and why we live for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for us all, we also believe that we've all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. See, getting back to that place where we surrender to God 100%, where we're all in, where we're ready for that awesome relationship with God, and nothing is holding us back, especially ourselves. We are just so passionate about God, and that every day we get up and okay, what's today going to be? We're going to get through it. It's going to be a great day. Every time I share the message, there are times that I know God's telling me there's people that need to hear this message today. There are people there that need, for whatever reason, this message. For encouragement to get into that next level. Every once in a while when I'm preparing a message and I'm praying about it and thinking about it and studying about it and going through the Bible and trying to make sure I get the exact message God wants, every once in a while I hear God say, hold up, This is for you too. Pay attention to this. Today is such a mess. For I work my day job with me someday. But I have this job. Thank you. That whenever a store gets off track, or the salespeople get off track or anything, and for whatever reason, you start slumping, the numbers are kind of going down, and the chemistry on the floor is not going that well, the managers all kind of say this one phrase. They say, well, you know, to get back where we should be, and we need to go back to the base. It's a popular saying. Has anybody heard that at work? We got to go back to the basics. You know, we kind of took our eye off the basics. The basics of our goals, the basics of service. You know, we always say that constantly. We need to refocus. We need to remember the things that we started with in the beginning that laid down a foundation for that initial success that we were having. I'm at a point right now where I need to go back to the basics in my relationship with God, to focus on the foundation that was laid down when I rededicated myself to God. For whatever reason, when things get overwhelming and a little tough and all that, I start finding myself going through some motions. And I start maybe taking things for granted. See, like Debbie's been going through this schooling the last year and a half. Like when she's studying, all of a sudden I hear, you know, I'm like in my office, she's in the front room or in the bedroom, and she's studying, and all of a sudden I hear a, amen! That's right! We gotta do this, Al! We're not doing this right! And she comes out and she's beaming and she's like, she'll walk up to my office and go, you know what? There's something you gotta start doing. This is so good. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16. Yeah, I know that scripture. He says, no, the word is 100% true. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's awesome. And I was remembering that when I was going through my schooling, that's what I was doing to her. I'd walk out of my office going, this is awesome. Do you know what God said in 1 John 4:13? Starting out. If you know she's known the Lord for a while, there's this level where you're learning and you're growing. When we're new to relationship with Jesus, or after we rededicate ourselves to the Lord, we can go through this excitement because we love the truth, we love the Word, we love learning things about God and learning things about ourselves, and we can't wait to put ourselves through the Holy Spirit filter where things start coming off of us that's been bothering us for years and holding us back. So I'm looking and I'm going, Lord, where do I go? I want to look in your word and I want to go back to the basics. So open up God's word and he leads me to a book. Great, awesome book in the Bible. Revelation. I'm going, really? You could have just went back to John. I know John really good. John 3:16. You know, I could have redone James, but he takes me to Revelation. And I'll be honest with you, Revelation is a little tough one to see. But I'm blessed. And now I get it. Revelation. The Apostle Paul, or John, the Apostle John, was writing a message to seven churches, and it's in detail. But remember, it is Jesus who is speaking to the people of these churches. In Revelation 2 through 3, the first church he spoke to was in Ephesus. Jesus was thanking and giving praise to the church in Ephesus for their good work and their patience and their perseverance through some pretty tough times. But he also warned in Revelation 2:4, "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you've fallen. Turn back to me and do the work you did at first." Jesus wasn't saying, "You don't know me." Jesus wasn't saying, "Look how bad you guys are doing." Jesus was saying, "You guys are really patient. Look how well you're doing. But you gotta go back to the basics. Because there's some things you've taken for granted. There's some things you forgot about. You just don't love people as much as you used to. Maybe we walk through the most, hey, there's Bob. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Yeah, you too? Okay, see next week. We don't love others as much as we used to. Bob, man, how are you? You know what? Really, I mean it. I miss anyone. One translation says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." He specifically stressed, go back to your first love. Go back to the passion and the focus and the dedication you had when you first started. The second church that he spoke to was in Smyrna. Jesus says, "I know you are struggling in your poor, but you are rich and you are faithful to my ways. You will be victorious." Every church is going through something. Maybe some different something, but going through. And Jesus was addressed. To the church in Pergamum, he warns of letting the world and bad teachings influence the church. God speaks again. He says, return or go back to letting the Holy Spirit influence God's people. To the church in Thyatira, he says, "I see all the good things you do. You have love and faith, and you serve others, and I've seen your improvement, but you're allowing a sin, something that still has you. In this case, it was sexual. You're allowing it to influence people. The ways of Satan cannot be allowed. You need to stay faithful. Hang on tightly to what you have that is good until I come again, and to all that are victorious, to those who obey me to the very end." To the church in Sardis, he says, "Wake up. Strengthen what you have left that is good and godly, and go back to what you first heard and believed. Hold to it firmly and repent and turn back to me again." Go back to basics. The sixth church he spoke to, the church in Philadelphia, not the one in Pennsylvania. "Even when you had little strength, you did not deny me. And because you obeyed me, I will protect you." The church in Philadelphia, no matter what was going on, they had it going on. They were hanging on. Times were tough. And they didn't have a whole lot of strength. They'd get up and go, "Lord, I don't know if I can make it today. But I got you. So I'll be fine. Just give me the strength to go through this." Jesus said, "Because you did not deny me, you did not waver, you obeyed me, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to help you." Last one. To the seventh church in Laodicea. Really big word. We talked about this before. He told this church, "You're lukewarm. It is better to be hot or cold, because I will spit lukewarm out of my mouth." You're either on fire for God, or you're not. It doesn't mean you don't have a relationship with Him, but how passionate are you? Do you breathe in Jesus? Do you breathe out? Do you follow that Holy Spirit? Everything you do, you have this filter because, man, I just said that. I just said that. Oh, that was good. God, thank you. That was awesome. Are we conscious 24/7 of our relationship with Jesus? And that's what Jesus is saying. Look, you guys are kind of lukewarm right now. Sometimes you hang with me, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you think about me, sometimes you don't. Sometimes I wonder if you've made it. And then sometimes you do something wrong. I spit lukewarm out of my mouth. At the end of this direction to the seven churches, Jesus says in Revelation 3:22, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. It's like, and it is, God saying to the people of Rock of Life in Chico, He's saying to all His churches, don't lose the passion, don't lose the fire, don't lose your commitment to God, don't go backwards, stay faithful, don't return to your old ways, don't lose your focus, don't stop wanting to do what is good and righteous, don't stop following my will, don't let the world start influencing you again, and going back what you used to be. You are a new creation in Christ. Amen? Here's your highlight. For whatever reason, if we need to refocus our lives, we need to go back to our first love, God. And not back to the old ways of what we used to be. Amen? Go ahead. Let's give the Lord some praise. Galatians 4:9 says, so now that you know God, or that I say now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? Why would you want to go backwards? If we're going to go back, it's because we're lukewarm right now, and we want to go back to the basics of our first love. Who God is, what Jesus did, and following the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, here's my message. This is where we're starting. So, I remember one time after I gave a message, somebody was watching it online, and they were talking to me and said, well, this is your message, and you were telling all these things we should do, and I was thinking, yeah, that's great, but how? And she said, as soon as I said that, the next thing out of your mouth was, now here's how we're going to focus on this. So here's how we're going to go back to the basics of living for God, His will, His ways, back to our first love. I'm going to go to the basics of the three H's. The letter H. Three words that begin with the letter H that help us reboot, refocus, go back to the passion and the foundation of Jesus. That will help us stay driven and striving to live a life that is pleasing to God. Here's your first page. Humble. Micah 6:8. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what He requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Well, what does that mean? To humble ourselves. See, you will not accomplish anything. Nothing that's worthwhile anyway, if it's about you or me. You can only accomplish something when you put God first. God in His Word says, when you are humble, you are free from a pride and an arrogance that it's about you. This pride thing, what about how I feel? Hey, what about me? What do you think about me? It's about God. Period. Always has. Always will be. James 4:7 through 10. Side note, if you're a man and you want to know where to start learning more about the Bible, you want to go to the next level, I'm going to suggest you start with the James. That's it. And every one book, but for men, it speaks to them. James 4:7 through 10. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Sometimes it's about God, sometimes it's about me. It's about God, and about me. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. If you need to, humble yourself before the Lord, and then he will lift you up in honor. That is what's required to humbly place a relationship with God by accepting his son Jesus as our Lord and Savior, to be followed by the Holy Spirit, to humbly place God's will before our own. Period. The second eight, hunger. Hunger. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Hunger. Debbie's going through that, schooling and like, geez, hungry. She's like, yeah. And like, on the way back from passing her test, I'm like, hey, I know. We're going to do it. I promise. She's hungry. She's like excited, on fire. And I've lost a little bit of that hunger. And I don't want to be there. I want to thirst for righteousness. I want us to want to do what God wants us to do every single moment of the day. John 6:33-35. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. If you refer back to Matthew 5:6, it says when we are running after righteousness, holiness, the bread of life is satisfied. But we can have a hunger that is not satisfied until you are always in the presence of God, every minute of the day and night. When we back away slightly, we need to be hungry. When we start saying things that aren't pleasing to God, we need to be hungry. When somebody's around us that just gets on our nerves once in a while, and we don't want to be friendly, or we've got to be hungry to love people. A hunger for the righteousness of God, the desire to live in God's will in everything we do in life. Amen? That leads us to the third eight, holiness. If you talk to a pastor, and I've been a pastor 3 years now, the biggest question you ever get, the most repeated question is, what's God's will for me? I don't know what God wants me to do. How do I please God? In the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is talking to the church about the state of the church. He's telling them what they are doing well and to stay away from immorality and holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7. I'm going to paraphrase it. God's will is for you to be holy. Live holy lives. That is your life. And between that, in this case, we're talking about sexual morality. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new man, which is created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. In Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one
would be. Hey everyone, this is Tommy from Rock of Life. I'm also a youth pastor and teen leader along with my wife, Mary. You can listen to Pastor Alfredo's messages here on KKXX at 12 noon Monday through Friday. You can also hit us up on our website at rockoflifechico.org to see Pastor Alfredo's messages on our YouTube channel link. And feel free to like us on Facebook. If you were inspired and blessed by today's message and would like to continue to hear more from Rock of Life on this radio program, visit our website, rockoflifechico.org, and support us with a one-time or monthly donation. At Rock of Life, we're a family, and everyone is welcome to come as they are, grow, or start your relationship with Jesus. Join us for weekly Bible studies for men, women, and teens, and check out the event calendar on our website for dates and times.
Thanks for listening, and see you on Sunday.